1 John chapter 5, verse 13, we'll read it once again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, many have said, and many a Bible teacher has said, that this verse is the summation of what the whole epistle of 1 John is all about. And that's very true. It gives us the purpose of the whole epistle. These things have I written. Now, sometimes these words have been taken to refer to just a few verses preceding what has been written, and that occurs from time to time. But that's not so with this verse. This verse is saying everything that has been written from John chapter 1, verse 1, to right where we are in verse 13 is given to us that we might believe and that we might know that we have believed, that we might have that assurance, as he says once again, and I'll repeat this verse several times. These things have I written, all that I have written in this epistle. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. So the whole purpose is given to us in verse 13. Now this verse is much like John 20, verse 31. Now remember, John writes his first epistle that we're in today, but he also wrote the Gospel of John. So I want you to turn back to John chapter 20. They're alike in the thought that they give us why he wrote the epistle of 1 John, and then in the Gospel of John, why he wrote the Gospel of John. So in John chapter 20 and verse 31, he says, but these are written, what I've written from John chapter 1 through the whole Gospel of John, because we come pretty well to the end of John here. We have a postscript in chapter 21. But he says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And then back to John, 1 John once again. But these are written, as he says in verse 13, that unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now in the Gospel of John, when he says these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing you might have life through his name, he's writing about the deity of Christ. He's showing in the whole Gospel of John that Christ is God, that Jesus is God, and that he is the Christ. That's what he's showing through the whole epistle of John, that men might come to believe on him. He starts off with John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, is what he states. And starts off with the very first verse of the Gospel of John, proving that Jesus is God come in flesh. And that's the whole purpose of the Gospel of John, that he is the Son of God, God come in flesh. As Matthew was written to present Jesus as king, and Mark was written to present him as the suffering servant, and Luke was written to present him as the Son of Man, the Gospel of John was written to present him as the Son of God, that he is the Son of God, and that he is God come in flesh, that men might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the whole purpose of that gospel. And the whole purpose of the first epistle of John is not to bring us to salvation. Now, if you study it well enough, it can bring you to salvation. But the whole purpose of the epistle of 1 John is to bring us to an assurance that what we have believed concerning Jesus Christ, that he is the Christ, and that we have eternal life through him, that we might have the certainty that we have believed in the right one. We have believed in the right person, because there was a lot of opinions concerning Jesus Christ of that day. Now, so where the Gospel of John is written to bring about faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, that they might have life, 1 John is written to give you the assurance of that faith, how you can know that you have faith, how you can know that you have eternal life. That's why it says, these things have I written unto you. Where in the Gospel of John, these things have I written that you might believe. He's talking to, he's presenting the gospel there in 1 John to an unsaved world that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Where in 1 John, he's presenting the faith that you have believed in Jesus Christ to believers. He's talking to believers in 1 John. That's why he says, these things have I written unto you. You who have believed, you who have trusted in Jesus Christ, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants you to have that perfect knowledge that you know him and that you have eternal life and have trusted in him as the Savior of your life. So in 1 John, it gives us all the evidences of what faith is and what our trust in Jesus Christ means, and to prove it real or to prove it unreal if we have not the faith that the Bible requires in the Lord Jesus Christ, or we have not put our faith, I should say, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So where the Gospel of John is written to bring about faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, that they might have life, I, John, is writing concerning our assurance in 5:13, to you who have professed him as the Savior. Now, what is the necessity of that? What is the necessity of John addressing believers in this way, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, when he says, these things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God? What is the necessity, I say again, of that? Well, there were then, as there is today, many different opinions about Jesus and about salvation. John writes 1 John not only concerning who Jesus is, but how you can know who Jesus is, and how you can know whether you have eternal life that Jesus gives. The word know, or its equivalent, is used 39 times in this short epistle of 1 John chapter 5. Now you take into some of the rest of the verses here in chapter 5, after he says, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. And you go down through this, verse 15, it says, if we know. And he goes on to say, as you go on further in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God. In verse 19, he says, and we know. And verse 20, he says, and we know. And it is 39 times given to us in this, and don't start counting them now, please, but 39 times, I may be off one or two, 39 times that it is given to us that we know. He wants you to understand you can have that perfect knowledge within you that you do know who Jesus Christ is, and you do know that you have eternal life because of your faith in Jesus Christ. So the necessity of John writing these things, because people had different opinions about Jesus and salvation. A lot of them had the wrong opinion about Jesus and salvation and the gift of life. And so he's writing that he might clear any issue up concerning the matter of who Jesus is and having eternal life, and you can know whether you believe in the right Jesus rather than in something else than what the Bible teaches concerning Jesus. And John makes that very, very clear. Now, another reason in writing this to believers is that many times believers have a great deal of trouble with having assurance. I think probably all of us might have gone through maybe a time or two of that in our lives, that many believers have times when they have a great deal of trouble with having assurance in their lives as to whether they truly believe. Do we truly believe? We question ourselves on that, or many believers question themselves. They are believers, but they question themselves, do I really believe? Do I really have it right? Do I really have Jesus in my life? Do I really have eternal life? And that's another reason why John, he's writing to believers who may have not had any assurance, or some believers within the group that he's writing to that did not have that assurance of Jesus Christ in their life and the assurance of the gift of life. So John's epistle gives several signs as to whether you truly believe in Jesus Christ and have life, which he gives life to all who believe, we know, but do we really have life? And there are several, we said several reasons why people sometimes doubt. We had a doubting Thomas. We talked a little bit about doubting in our Sunday school class this morning. And some believers in this world become so depressed in their lives. Believers are not exempt from depression. They're not exempt from depression at all, as the world has depression. So many times believers have depression. And when a believer gets in a state of depression, he often doubts as to, have I really believed in Jesus? Do I really have life? And that occurs far more frequently than we really realized, where the lack of assurance of salvation is not there. And many times sicknesses affect the nervous system of men and the nervous system of believers when certain sicknesses come over them and affects them to such a degree that it really takes away the assurance in their lives. Am I really a Christian? Do I really have life? And that occurs more frequently than we think when certain sicknesses take a hold of God's people. The Bible also says we are to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. We're looking to ourselves to see if we are in the faith. But some believers interpret this in the wrong way and do so much self-inspection that their eyes are taken off Jesus and put on themselves in such a way that it causes them not to have the assurance, or they have a lack of assurance, because it's good to examine ourselves, but some people get to examine themselves in such a way and such self-inspection that they lose sight of Jesus and they put it on themselves instead of on Jesus, who is the one that gives eternal life. And that happens far more than we think it happens. So thus we have the epistle of 1 John. These things are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life. Now, this is really linked with chapter 1, verse 1 and 4. Chapter 13 is linked with the first chapter when it says in this verse here, I should say this verse is really linked with chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. So let me read them to you. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and you can follow along in your Bibles. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which you have seen with our eyes. Remember, this is John. He had walked with the Lord for 3 years. He listened to him. He looked upon him with his eyes. He handled them with a handle. Our hands have handled the word of life. They touched him who was the word of life. For the life was manifested, it says in verse 2, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He wants them to have the joy of the Lord in their lives. And when they got doubts, they do not have the joy of the Lord. Mark brought out about Thomas this morning. I think there was a time he did have the joy of the Lord because he doubted as to whether these really saw Jesus in the flesh. And he said, I won't believe till I stick my finger in his nail prints in his hand and thrust my hand in his side. So when Jesus did appear unto the 12 again, unto the 11 again, with John present, 8 days later, Jesus said, okay, Thomas, put your hands there, put your hand in my side. And Thomas didn't do that. He just fell on his knees before the Lord and said, as Mark all brought out this morning, my Lord and my God. His doubts were over concerning the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he had been raised in the flesh. But as was in that day, so today, believers sometimes are put in a position, something happens to them, whereby assurance is taken away from them. Now, these things write on you that your joy may be full, he says in 1:4, and that's what he wants. He wants joy in the hearts of believers. Now, what are those things he has written about? What are those signs as to whether we have truly believed? And what are those signs as to whether we possess the eternal life, that your joy might be full? And in our messages on 1 John, we have dealt with them one by one as we have gone through them. But let us briefly review them together before we stop our message today. First of all, we have professed, and certainly this is necessary to begin with. First of all, we have professed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. I believe, as I probably look out at you today, that most of you have believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. If you have not, then we could go no further with you until you do. So here are the signs to you who have professed Jesus as Christ to see if your profession is real, to see if you have really believed on him. And the first sign that we have, and I've gone a little bit further than most Bible teachers, have gone through several commentaries on this, and some of them go, and I think I'm legitimate in doing it. I don't think there's any question about some of it. But the first sign that we have, Jesus and the eternal life that he gives, is that we no longer walk in darkness, but we walk in the light. That's the first sign he gives us here, I believe, in this epistle, concerning as to whether we really have Jesus in the life and whether we really have the life of Jesus in us, that new life, which is the eternal life that becomes active the moment we do believe. In other words, if we have really believed in Jesus, a radical change begins to take place in the life. Now, this will vary probably concerning maybe how old we are. There might be other factors that might vary it somewhat from one person to another. Not everybody goes through the same thing. We must all go through the same thing as far as faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But some people mature faster than other people. But there has to come into the life some change, some radical change in the life that brings us out of darkness into light. That we might, as the Bible says, walk in the light. And we read this currently in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, in verses 5 through 7, where it says, "This then is the message which you have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we're professing him, if we say we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we're lying, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So a radical change must begin in the life. It must begin to take place in the life where we come out of that darkness and we come into that light that God gives to us, whereby we have become a new creation, in spite of what David said. We've become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You didn't get that, but I want to explain it to you. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus when we become believers. That brings us out of darkness. It brings us into the light of God and that which he would have us to walk in as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are brought out of darkness into life. We pass from death, as the Bible says, unto life. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. So that old things begin to pass away and things become new to us. The old things of the world begin to pass away. The things of God and of Christ begin to come in to our life. Now, another sign of new life is the admission of sin in the life. In verses 7 through 9, we read these words, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." You see, a believer will admit sin. Unbelievers don't like to admit sin. But a believer will admit sin. And when we sin, we will admit that we have sinned. And when we admit that we have sinned, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we will admit sin. Believers will admit sin and confess our sin before the Lord, that we might have fellowship with him. So that's another sign of being a true believer. The world out there don't go around saying, "Boy, I'm a sinner. I do this. I'm a sinner. The world doesn't do that. That's not the character of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that we live in sin. See, that's another issue. I'll get to that in a moment. But so another sign of new life is the admission of sin. Another sign of having Christ in the life and having new life is the keeping of his commandments. That is, the keeping of God's word. His commandments here, not speaking of the Ten Commandments, it's speaking of that which Jesus has commanded. And this is the keeping of God's word. And chapter 2, verse 1 through 8 really deals with that. I'm not going to read all of that now, but I will read a verse or two. Verse 3, "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And later on it says, verse 5, "For whoso keepeth his word." And that's what he's talking about. Keeping his word. That we are walking in his word. So that's another sign that we do have Christ and we do have the life that Jesus gives, is that we are those who want to keep God's word, and when we don't keep it, we're willing to confess our sin. When we sin, God hits us between the eyes and says, "You sinned. You just sinned against me." If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive it. And so we must do that. And when we do that, we show that we have life. We show that we have Christ in us. So we must not only acknowledge our sin, we must confess our sin, and we must keep God's word. That doesn't mean we never fail. That doesn't mean we never sin. But the general tenor of the life is the keeping of the word of God. Another sign of having Jesus in the life, and the life of Jesus gives us, is that you have a greater love for God and the things of God than you have for the things of this world. If you go to chapter 2 and read verses 15 through 17, which you've heard often, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Love of the Father is not in him because he doesn't love God. He loves the world. So he doesn't have you can't have both. You either got one or the other. You either got the love of the world or you got the love of God in you. So if any man love the world, the love of God is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the desires thereof, the word lust means desires thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever, because he has the life. He has the eternal life. And if your love is greater for the things of this life and the things of this world and the pleasures of life, or you don't want to sacrifice any of the pleasures of life in your life, but you just enjoy the pleasures of this life and the pleasures of the world, and that's your life, then do you have the love of God in you? Or do you have Christ in you? Or do you have the life that God gives, that gives you a greater love for God and the will of God than for the things of this life and the things of this world? So another sign is that we're, and there's a lot of verses I would like to read for that, but I will add this. This is the faith that overcomes the things of the world. This is the faith that overcomes the world. You read that in chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, and we preach the message on those verses. But chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." You're born of God, you have Christ in you, and you have the life that God gives in you. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So the overcoming of the world depends on having God in us and the life of God in us and our faith in God that helps us overcome the things of this world and the desires of this world, that we might have a greater love for God than we do for this world. And of course, another sign of having Jesus and the new life in us is the confession of truth that Jesus is the Son of God, the deed of Christ. That's in chapter 2 and verses 20 through 25, where we read these words. "But ye have an unction from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. And he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Let us therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." So you see what he's talking about here is that the new life in us is the confession of truth that Jesus is the Son of God, and concerning the deity of Jesus Christ, which brings the Spirit of God into the life, that anointing that God gives to the believer. But you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And so, having received the Spirit of God within us, bears witness to the truth, as said in other verses we've studied, bears witness to the truth concerning Jesus Christ. And we have to have that in us to know that we have Christ and we have the life that Christ gives. Another sign of Jesus and new life is the inadmissibility of sin in the life. I preached a whole message on this. And let me say it again. It does not mean that we never sin. We do. We all do. But we better confess it. But as a whole, God in Christ and His Spirit is in control of our lives, as brought out in 3, 4 through 10, chapter 3, verse 4 to 10. Whosoever commits sin and sin transgresses the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We know that He was manifest to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abides in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sins has not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And He might destroy the works of the devil in us. And again, you have to understand the tenses of the language of which this Bible is written in, when it was written in the Greek language. What He's saying here, not that we never sin, not saying that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Not that we never sin, but He's saying that we don't live in the realm of sin. We live in the realm of God. We live in the realm of righteousness, is what He's saying here. In other words, sin does not control, have the uppermost control in our life, like the world in their unbelief. That is, they do their own thing. Self is more important than God. Self is more important than doing the will of God. Self is more important than serving God or worshiping God or whatever. But that's the world. If that controls us, then do we have Christ in us? The Bible said, no, we don't. Do we have the life in us? No, because the life in us is different. So that when we do sin, as we said before, we're willing to confess, we realize we've done wrong, we get on our knees and we confess that before the Lord. So we do not live in the realm of selfishness, living a life unto ourselves and not unto God. Because living a life unto ourselves is sin. We're not living in the realm of the righteousness of God when we do that. So another sign of having Jesus Christ in the life and the life that He gives is a love for God's people. Who do you like to be around the most? Who do you choose for your companions? The people of God are those who do not have a love for Christ, for the cross, for His church. Thus we read in chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. He does not have the life of God in him. Believers have a love for believers. It does not mean we're not to do any association with the unsaved world. How will we ever reach them if we don't? It doesn't mean we don't invite them over for dinner, that we might reach them. It doesn't mean that we don't stop and chat with them and befriend them in a way that we can reach them. But the thing you love the most and the people you love the most to be around are God's people, the saints of God. This is a sure sign that you have Christ in you and you have the life of Christ in you. That which is begotten of God you love. That which God has begotten, you love, the children of God. And that is to manifest itself, certainly outwardly. Another sign of Jesus Christ in you and the life that Jesus is having the Holy Spirit in us that bears witness to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. In chapter 5, verse 9 through 12, if you go through that, it says in verse 8, and these are the three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree with one. We've explained that water and blood to you before. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He tells us what that witness is in the next couple of verses. We have the Holy Spirit within us that gives us a surety that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that through him we have eternal life. The Spirit bears witness in us to that truth. The Spirit doesn't say, well, you have eternal life, you have everlasting life, you have the gift of life. No, he bears witness to Jesus Christ that we truly do believe in him, that we have trusted him, and that bear witness that he is who he said he is, and he did what he is, what he did on the cross for us. The Spirit bears witness to that truth in us. And if we believe in who he said he is and who the Bible teaches he is, that he is the Son of God, that he did die on the cross for sinners such as we are, then we have the life of God. And then we have the life of God in us. One cannot just say, I'm a Christian and be a Christian. Now, we have millions who do that. But one cannot say, I'm a Christian and be a Christian. They must have the evidence of being a Christian, of which many I have pointed out today. Because there are a lot of people who say they are Christians, but have not any evidence of it. There are a lot of people who think that they're going to heaven and think that they have life because they believe that their good may outweigh their bad, who have no evidence that they possess the life of Christ, which is the eternal life, which causes them to be with God forever, to be in heaven, to be with the Lord forever and ever. They have eternal life. They have no evidence of it. They may say, well, I'm going to heaven. My good outweighs my bad. That's not the evidence that you have life. So as a believer, may the word of God given to us today help us establish a surety of your life concerning Christ in the life, and the surety of eternal life that we have, that eternal life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the surety of the word of God and the evidences that you do give to us and John has given to us under the pen of inspiration, how we can know that we have eternal life, how we can know that we have Christ, because you have given the evidences of it. Father, if we have not those evidences, may we search our heart, examine our soul, and realize that we need to truly believe in him apart from any work of our own, that he alone is the one who is the Son of God, and he alone is the one who died for sins, and he alone is the one that gives life. And may any call upon his name who have not called upon his name to ask God to be merciful to them, a sinner, and to give to them that eternal life as they believe on you as the one that was sent into the world for sinners. And we will thank you for what you will do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.